everyone, and welcome to another episode of Upzoned, where every week we take just one big story from the news that touches the Strong Towns conversation, and we upzone it. My usual conversation partner, Chuck, is actually out on vacation with his family, probably at the bottom of the Grand Canyon with two kids and a wife right about now. So I, Kia, by the way, forgot to introduce myself, have invited on a guest to join us. This is Kevin Germino. Am I pronouncing your last name right, Kevin?
Germino.
Germino. That is much more Italian. Sorry about that. Kevin Germino is a longtime Strong Towns member. He has lived in East Milwaukee for about 6 years, and he is a web developer. I'm really excited to have a Strong Towns member on who is not in a built environment profession. I have a special fondness for Strong Towns members who aren't engineers and planners, though I love all you too, because I think that it's really amazing that Strong Towns members can come from so many different walks of life and ways of making a living. Thank you so much for joining me today, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.
So Kevin actually answered a call I put out to a few of our members about what story we should talk about this week, and he brought to my attention the weather in his home state of Wisconsin. Specifically, his city of Milwaukee is experiencing some problems with snow removal. Before we get into that, let me just ask, has the snow melted since we talked last, Kevin? Has Mother Nature solved this problem for you?
It has not. It's starting to this week, actually. We're finally getting it warm enough that the snow is starting to melt. There's a few patches of grass starting to appear, and everything's just nice and flooded for about next week or two, probably.
Gross. Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're kind of on the upward trajectory. But I thought this article you sent me from Greater Washington, which I will put in the show notes today so you have a chance to read it for yourself, was really fascinating to me on a couple of levels. It detailed this sort of apocalypse condition, honestly, in Milwaukee, where despite the fact that Milwaukee is at a pretty high longitude, is in an area of the country that sees snow every single year, you're having a hard time keeping drivers on the road, prioritizing the routes that need to be prioritized. And since this is a perennial Midwestern problem, and I am a diehard Midwesterner, I thought it would be worth talking about a little bit on the podcast, because it also brings up some surprising truths about the way that different cities handle caring for our roads during these seasonal events that we should be expecting by now. Tell me a little bit from the locals' point of view, what's going on in Milwaukee and what's the cause of the slowdown?
The first thing to say is that, you know, from my perspective on the ground, it seems like, as things usually are with snow, the reaction is overblown, right? Things have been bad. They have not been what they should be this year, but it's not a disaster. So, but the core issues this year were the budget tightness catching up to us, essentially. I mean, we usually get about, you know, 4 feet or so of snow a year, and that's about what we got this year, but we got it in about 5 weeks. So it was every couple of days there was, you know, 6 to 8 inches of snow, and then we'd get cold and then get some more snow and freezing rain. And the city never was able to catch up and completely clear everything before it would snow again, which meant that they're now dealing with snow on top of frozen snow from a week ago. So, you know, the parking lanes never got cleared out. The cars kind of keep inching further and further off the curb because they're not cleared to the curb. And the roads, well, they're not impassable. You know, there was a few weeks there where you were constantly driving in less than ideal conditions.
It's rough. I mean, we talk a lot about the Strong Towns strength test here at Strong Towns, and we ask you questions like, if there was a revolution in your town, would everyone know where to go, things like that. I feel like snow is Mother Nature's strength test in a certain way, because a town that's strong isn't paralyzed by something as regular as snowfall. Certainly a town that gets snow every year shouldn't be paralyzed by that. Are people able to walk when the roads are impassable? Are sidewalks being cleared? How are people handling it, meeting their daily needs under these circumstances?
I mean, the roads have rarely been impassable, but you've usually been able to walk fine. One of the things to understand, too, is as you're kind of going through, you can walk in 4 inches of snow a lot easier than most cars can drive in it. So it kind of also counteracts that and helps a little bit. But that's the other side of it, is trying to clear the sidewalks and the crosswalks and making sure. So, you know, maybe in that first little bit, walking is okay. But then as the weeks go on, walking becomes worse and worse, even as the roads do get cleared.
Yeah, there are some pretty colorful quotes in the Urban Milwaukee story from, let's see, it's an alderman, I think, named Bauman.
Bauman is
yeah.
The main one.
Yeah, I'm guessing this is a colorful personality based on the quote. It says something along the lines of like, what we're doing to pedestrians right now is a travesty. I'm sorry, I do not accept the premise that this is an overwhelming assault of nature. You know?
Yeah, well, one quote I pulled, it is totally unequivocally unacceptable how we deal with pedestrians.
Yeah, that's the one I was looking for. I think it's totally unequivocally unacceptable how we deal with pedestrians in general. But when it comes to snow removal in our streets, that seems like a particularly contentious issue because there is technology to clear sidewalks, much like the way that we clear streets, but cities tend to not use it, either for the reasons that you're pointing out, Kevin, that you know you can still walk if you are able-bodied and not pushing a stroller in 4 inches of snow most of the time. Also because we don't prioritize it. I mean, to some extent, local governments just don't care. There were also some interesting points being made about how we prioritize clearing arterials, the main big roads that fork off of the highways. There's my fumbling layman explanation of what an arterial is, which is fine. But if you can't get out of your driveway because the whole street at the end of your driveway isn't cleared, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good. Is there a planning and like organization solution to this problem that you wish your city would look at?
I've read somewhere a few years ago, like Seattle kind of focuses on getting the main roads cleared so the buses can run, and then you can get to the bus route, and then that'll solve the first day problem. And I think in general, that's kind of Milwaukee's approach. Like the main roads, even, you know, when you say arterial, you know, we're not just talking about 3-lane each way divided highways. We're talking about some of the streets in my neighborhood that just cut through and they have a little boulevard and they get, you know, 100 cars an hour. They're considered arterials, or at least in terms of the plowing priority. So it's usually a matter of making sure that you can get to somewhere where you can get out quickly and then accept that you have to drive slowly on the side streets. And I think that that's actually probably the best way to go is, you know, if you can't cover everything right away, try to keep the side streets clear enough that you can at least get out of them, even if it's a really slow, stressful drive through snow. But then you can get to a road that's passable and you can get, if you need to get across town or whatever, it's still possible to do.
You know, it does underscore that some of this journalism is a little bit more fatalistic than maybe it should be. But it does point to some interesting concerns about the strength of your city's funding. And I want to talk about, you raised this point when you mentioned why you were interested in the article, the money behind all of this stuff. One part I find interesting in the Urban Milwaukee piece is it mentions that I hate to put you on the spot. If you don't know much about this, just let me know. But Milwaukee snow removal is financed by your utility company as a tax on your water, which I found really weird and strange. You know, I don't know a whole lot about how snow removal is funded in other places, but a quick Google tells me that it's generally out of the streets department or the general fund, taxes on gas, just like all other road maintenances. Do you know anything about why Milwaukee has that system and whether another funding system might be more appropriate?
Yeah, actually, and I actually like Milwaukee's funding system, but it does require a little bit of background. Part of what's going on is that Wisconsin has never heard of local control. And so Milwaukee has extremely limited ways of raising money. They have a property tax that's capped. They have like a vehicle registration fee and a few other miscellaneous fees that they're allowed to charge. And one of them is that they are allowed to charge a snow removal fee. It is tied to the water bill, but that's more of just an administration thing because every address gets a water bill through the city anyway. So they charge the snow removal fee and the garbage fee on that just for convenience. But the way it's structured is it's actually, I believe it's $1 per foot of frontage. So if you're on a big wide lot, you pay, you know, more versus where I am. I pay about $30 a year. So it helps balance, in my mind, the cost to the use.
That's really interesting. I've never really thought about it quite that way. And maybe my city should look at that too. St. Louis really does not do a great job with snow removal. As someone who grew up in deep lake effect dump areas outside of Cleveland and in Michigan, way up in the north, those cities have got some things figured out. I'll have to look into what their funding mechanism is because whatever they're doing, it's working. I'm curious if there's some other way to approach the issue of road funding around snow removal. Tell me what your concerns are if the tax system isn't it.
I think that it's good to have a general, you know, awareness. And I think that the snow removal and just winter in general can have a huge impact when you talk about livability of a city or even just strong towns in general. I mean, obviously, this is applying to an urban area particularly. I live in a very urban neighborhood. But there's a lot of factors here, and it's big things like, as we talked about, clearing the sidewalks, paying for clearing the roads, the additional damage and potholes and stuff that comes from the winter season and, you know, the freeze-thaw cycles, and we're all familiar with that up here. But even beyond that, you get into smaller things like, hey, people do clear the sidewalk, but then the plows create a barrier at the crosswalks. And sometimes the city is good about that, sometimes it's not. This year was a year that they came in a lot of heat for doing a terrible job at that. That was one of the bigger issues I felt this year, was there was a number of times where I'd be walking to my workplace and I'm having to climb a mountain of snow that I'm able to get around as a 6 foot tall, able-bodied guy. But I mean, with a bag of groceries, it would have been hard. One of the things that I know kind of comes up a lot is, like, we talk about curb bump outs, and they're really nice and they're really useful and they solve a lot of problems. But one of the pushbacks we get here is that they interfere with the plows, because if you have an inexperienced driver, I mean, even an experienced driver, it's one more obstacle they have to work around, but an inexperienced driver will just plow through it and damage everything. It solves a lot of issues, but I think that that's one of the things that comes up a lot. One of the things we need to counteract is to say, hey, these are worth it despite that, or hey, these can actually help, because, you know, the bump out means that the puddle of water that's up against the curb is behind the sidewalk instead of being something you have to jump over in order to cross the street.
I think that's so smart. And I think in a feedback responsive strong city, there would be a way for, you know, city residents like you and me, people walking to work, to report that 6 foot mountain of snow, to report that curb bump out that's getting shredded, and have the road system be able to adjust around that. We would have temporary solutions until we've seen how that curb bump out behaves in a variety of conditions throughout the year, for instance. So just to put a finer point on what a strong town's alternative to this might be, I think that's a great object lesson and why incremental road design is so crucial. Did you want to end with any other thoughts on this article before we move into the downzone, Kevin? I really appreciate you bringing it to our attention. I think even folks in sunny climates are probably going to have some food for thought here.
No, I think I'm set.
Love it. Well, I am anxious to hear a little bit about what you have been reading. We call this the down zone. If you've been reading something, watching something, listening to a podcast, any kind of media that is exciting to you and that you think our audience would love to hear about, I would love to know what's been on your hit list this week.
So I'm actually going to go a little bit unconventional here, I guess. There is a Bloomberg columnist named Matt Levine, and he has a daily newsletter. And it's very, like, finance-oriented, you know, talks about insider trading rules and some of that stuff. But it's very approachable, and it's usually interesting. He's been kind of lately on a little bit of a Tesla kick. I'm not sure how much you pay attention, but if you've seen the Elon Musk...
The Elon Musk Twitter issues? You know my job. Yes, all I do is hear about Elon Musk. Trust me. Go ahead.
So he's had some interesting kind of analysis or just perspective on some of the legal side of that and kind of the broader sense of what it means. And it's very entertaining and usually very interesting.
Very cool. I have to subscribe to that. Tell us the name of the newsletter one more time.
Matt Levine. I think the newsletter is called Money Stuff.
Awesome. Well, I will go in a more traditional direction this week for the down zone. I am almost done reading a book called The Library Book by Susan Orlean. Have you run across that one yet, Kevin?
No.
Oh, it's so good. Maybe I'm a little bit biased because the book is about libraries, specifically the burning of the LA library in the mid-1980s. But the author is from very close to where I grew up outside of Cleveland, Ohio. And it kind of doubles as a love letter to these public spaces that are so crucial to so many of our communities. And she grew up going to the library I went to growing up. I think it's incredible. Susan Orlean is probably best known for writing The Orchid Thief, which then became the very weird Charlie Kaufman movie adaptation. She's a staff writer at The New Yorker, and she writes in that sort of amazing New Yorker-y style that's full of like novelistic details, like the way that microfilm smells when it's burning, or the way that art books dissolve when you get them wet with a fire hose. And it's populated with all of these like fantastic, interesting characters. But I think Strongtown's fans would like it for the way that it talks about what a unique public space a library is and how many functions it serves and what happens when one is put out of commission. It's a really interesting take on an institution that, I don't know, I feel like had a big role in raising me. I spent a ton of my time in my childhood sitting in libraries waiting for my parents to get off of work. So big recommendation for The Library Book by Susan Orlean. All right. That is what we've got. Thank you so much for joining us, Kevin. And thank you for being a member of the Strongtowns movement. That means so much to us.
Thank you. This one's fun.
Yeah, I appreciate it. If you'd like to support Upzoned, you can do so by giving us a 5-star review on iTunes or anywhere else of your choosing. You can also join the Strongtowns movement at strongtowns.org/membership. And you can always suggest a topic or even suggest yourself or someone you know as a guest. I love having new voices and new perspectives on that are seeing parts of the country and elements of the world that I don't necessarily see from my corner of St. Louis. So if you have an idea, just shoot it over to team@strongtowns.org. Thanks so much, and keep doing what you can to build a strong town.